Good evening. As Randy announced earlier, Brother Sterling is away at a gospel meeting. And James, of course, did his usual good job this morning. And I've been asked and Mike have been asked this evening to give a short talk. The subject I've chosen to speak on tonight is that of giving. In discussing the Christian's responsibility in giving, first must recognize that God and his absolute ownership over all things. I'd like to direct your minds to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 24. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and your hand is to make great, and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name, but who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." You can see in verse 14, "For all things come from you." Back up in verse 11, "For all that is in heaven and earth is yours." I noticed some rustling of pages there, and I guess that shows my inexperience. I gave you a scripture to refer to, and then I didn't give you enough time to get to it, so I apologize for that. And we can also refer to Psalms 21, verse 1. "God is the owner of all the earth and all that dwell in it." And of course, in Genesis 1, God, in verse 1, God is the creator of all things. So man doesn't own anything in an absolute way. God's the owner. God, however, does allow mankind to use his possessions. Man has to recognize this and respect that it's God's and not mankind's. We are as stewards, we're as caretakers of God's property. Cannot claim absolute ownership even of our own money. By being stewards, we Christians are held accountable. We're held accountable for every cent that we spend that God has prospered us. Now, having established the ownership, and with this in mind, let's examine the Christian's responsibilities of giving. The text we often go to as far as New Testament giving is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 1 and 2. The inspired Apostle Paul lays down some basic rules we need to follow. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." I've put three separate items up here, not items, but three questions underneath the giving: the when, the who, and how much. I think it's very simple to answer the first one. The when, as we read just now, is the first day of the week. Just as in the Old Testament, God had a special day, the Sabbath, or is what we refer to mostly today as Saturday, the Lord has blessed us in the New Testament with our own special day. The day of the Lord, the first day of the week, we often refer to as Sunday. It's the day in which the resurrection, Mark 16, 9, I believe. And it's also our day of worship. Of course, we all know we have five items of worship. We have the teaching, preaching. We have singing, prayer, and the Lord's Supper. And then the fifth item of worship that I chose to discuss tonight is that of giving. So we can, I believe there's no argument, no controversy on the when. It's the first day of the week. Unlike the Sabbath, which is holy in the Old Testament, the first day of the week is that which is in the New Testament. The who, I'd like to refer you again to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 2 specifies each one of you or every one of you. You being Christians, he was addressing the Christians at the churches of Galatia and the Corinthian church. And this would be applicable to all Christians today. We're to continue to be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and teachings. Acts 2:42. The Lord's business is to be financed by the Lord's people. I'm not suggesting that we turn down money from non-Christians who may want to give to the treasury. After all, who owns it? God does. But we're not to go out and appeal to people of the world to give. It's a Christian's responsibility. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 16, we're given an order to do so. Verse 2, to lay by in store. It's not an option to give. No Christian who has been prospered by God is exempt, regardless of your financial condition. If you would, please turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrangle. So he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." You notice Jesus praised this poor widow for giving. She wasn't excluded. He didn't teach his followers this lady should hold on to what she has because she has so little. She needs it more than what the treasury needs it. And that may be the case in this situation. But she was praised for giving even though she was poor. So I want to suggest to you that we're not exempt from giving regardless of our financial condition. Likewise, no Christian who has been prospered is exempt from giving because of age. If a person is old enough to be the age of accountability and having obeyed the gospel, then that person is old enough and obligated enough to be involved and do all the items of the worship, and giving, of course, being one of them. Of course, this is assuming, of course, that they have some prosperity. If a younger age Christian works or if they babysit, they get an allowance or in some way have some small income, then shouldn't they not also be obligated to give a small portion back to the Lord? If not, then why not? It would be a simple question. And I'd like to take this opportunity at this time to really commend the parents and grandparents and others in this congregation who also give money to the very young to be able to give to the treasury. I think it sets in action a teaching and a habit that hopefully that will last a lifetime. Quite often when I've been on the Lord's table and later on passing the trays around, you can really find a humor sometimes if you see these kids and how they go about giving. Most often they smile, they have pride that they're being involved in the congregational action here. And that they also have their different styles of giving. Kind of have the whole handful approach where they want to, you know, bombs away, and the more noise the better, and then you have the one at a time approach, plunk, plunk, plunk. Then on it, hey, I'm getting some laughs. All right. Although we are up here for serious business, but it is kind of humorous. And you even occasionally have the I don't want to let go approach, and you got mom and dad tugging at each little finger, trying to let go. Come on, got to get going, Pastor. And you'd be surprised, some of us adults have our own unique approaches, too, on how we drop our money in. But the bottom line is, brethren, that we need to realize our obligation, each one of us having giving. And not only is it an obligation, it's an honor. What better way to spend money than to spend it seeing that the Lord's work's being done here at this local congregation? So which brings us to how much. When's the first day of the week? Who is to each Christian who has been prospered? Now how much? In the general sense, as we can read in 1 Corinthians 16, it's as God has prospered you. When considering prosperity, I'd like to suggest a couple of things. Your amount of your income and your increases in income, your expenses and your miscellaneous situations, such as family size and family responsibilities. God teaches us we're to provide and care for our own families, naturally. Expenses, I think we need to ask ourselves, do we spend our money wisely? Necessities, they're just that, they're necessary. And then we have luxuries, and they're nice. There's nothing sinful about luxuries in themselves unless we allow them to be. If luxuries are keeping us from giving as we've been prospered to the Lord's work, then they become sin. And I want us to all examine ourselves honestly and really take inventory of ourselves and our spending and see if we're doing what we should be doing. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, about the sin of loving money. I think the love of money is phrased the root of all evil in that text. So how do we determine how much to give in view of our prosperity? Well, I'm up here far from being an expert, and I don't believe I can tell you that. Just like unless you know every circumstance in my life, I don't believe you can tell me. But I would like us to consider two schools of thought on how much we should be giving. Consideration number one, that the Old Testament basically has your 10% tithing system. And the Old Testament being faulty, imperfect. You have the New Testament, which is a better covenant and a more excellent ministry, Hebrews 8:6, a better sacrifice, Hebrews 9:23. Then how can we contemplate giving less support for a better covenant than the Jews were required to give for a faulty covenant? Now, I'd like to say at this time, although this view in some way seems logical, and there may be some valid point to the better safe than sorry approach, I'm not necessarily persuaded that the scriptures teach this. And I welcome any of you who may agree or disagree to talk to me about this. But basically, I'd like to look at consideration number two, that I believe the New Testament teaches that each individual has to answer to himself and to God on what amount they give based on what he or she has been prospered. Hopefully, most are able to give more than 10%. Some may only be able to give 10%. And yes, I believe in some cases, maybe even less than 10% may be acceptable. Excuse me, I got a little bit of throat problem myself, just like Sterling's been having trouble with. So Christ sacrificed for us, so we should sacrifice for him. And of course, that would include our giving. I'd like to refer you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. That this I say, and I should hold off a second, I hear the pages rattling again. This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's try not to take the approach that what's the least amount we can give and be acceptable, but rather let's give abundantly from the heart, cheerfully. Also, I'd like for us to consider that we live in the 20th century America, probably the most prosperous country in the history of mankind. Closer to home, we live in Beaver Creek and the surrounding areas where, for the most part, they're fairly high in living standards, especially compared to the rest of the world. I think we all have to admit, brethren, we've been blessed. But as stated before, giving is an individual function. It's based on one's prosperity and not necessarily the prosperity of a city, state, or a nation. In closing, I chose this topic for several reasons. One, I believe it's been a while since we've discussed this topic from the pulpit. Number two, to help better understand my own personal giving. I've questioned, ever since becoming a Christian, I've had this question in my own heart and mind on exactly what would be acceptable. And number three, hopefully I want to encourage others to consider about your giving. A little while back, I asked Sterling, now that he's pretty well settled in here at Knollwood and having been involved in a number of other congregations throughout this country, what he thought were some of the strengths and weaknesses of this congregation. I don't think Sterling will mind me saying, because he had several strengths, something we should all be proud of. The one disappointment he didn't mention was a contribution amount. And I must add, what little bit of traveling that I do to different congregations, I normally can look at the board and see the numbers in the contribution. And it does seem like we fall short quite often. And I realize that each congregation is different. Each individual is different. It seems like lately our contribution, although today, unfortunately, it's down some, but it seems like lately our contribution has been on the rise. That's encouraging. And I would like to encourage all of us, including myself, to try to improve upon that. If you remember the story in Luke chapter 18 about Jesus and the rich young ruler, and he asked Jesus basically, what do I need to have eternal life? Jesus named off some of the commandments, and he said he had done that. And then Jesus sensed a weakness in this man and told him to go ahead and sell off his riches, his property, and follow him. And this man went away sad. This man lost his soul because of his love of his money. So let's make sure we aren't in the same boat. There's many needs out there, just not this local congregation, but there's needs elsewhere, brethren throughout the world, that we can do on an individual basis. There's good and needy charities that we can help. We probably need to investigate a lot of these places before we give our money to them to make sure they're on the level. But let's make no mistake about it, brethren. Improper giving can and will cause one to lose one's soul. Okay, I'll turn it over to Mike. Thank you.